So this morning, we are concluding our series on building on the vision. And I want to end the series really where I started it, not focusing on generosity and giving and money, but on focusing on the God of the universe. Back on May 5th, we opened this series by talking about the greatness of God. And we talked about how our God is the creator and the sustainer of all things, that he is purposeful, that our God is holy, that our God is all-powerful, that our God is all-knowing, our God is merciful, loving, and forgiving. Our God is perfect. Our God cares. Our God is the owner of everything, and our God saves. And this morning, we want to conclude the series by worshiping and praising the God who is all those attributes and more, not only because of what he has done for us, as Ed mentioned, but for who he is. When we talk about this, just so you know what I go through when I'm preparing for a sermon, I try to put myself in the pew. And there's some of you like, you get it. You're all in. You understand everything that we have just sung about. And then, and I don't mean this as a criticism, there are some of you who you save the words, you lip the words, you sing the words, you hear what's read, but maybe all the dots are not connecting. And I would say in my own life, since I came to know Jesus in 1981, there has been a progression where I understand and love worship of our God and our Savior more and more. And I don't think I'm alone in that thing. And I will be growing in that until the day the Lord takes me home. But when Dale read, "I will extol you, my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." Harold Best, in his book, Music Through the Eyes of Faith, defines worship in the broadest sense as acknowledging something or someone else greater, more worthy. And so that's what we want to try to do today. I want to try to unpack what it means that we worship this God who is great and who is worthy of our praise and of our worship. So there's a few things I'm going to talk about, and it might seem a little disjointed, but I hope it all comes together at the end. First of all, first point is this. Everybody worships something. Everyone does. The atheist and the believer worship something. Psalm 29:2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord and the splendor of his holiness." Psalm 115:4 says, "The idols of silver and gold, the work of human hands, they have mouths, but they do not speak." And so the psalmist there is kind of drawing a description of the believer who worships the true God, and they're someone who's worshiping whatever God of their choosing. The American novelist David Foster Wallace, who from everything I read was not a Christian, but he wrote a novel called Infinite Jest in 1996, and Time magazine called it one of the best English novels from the years 1923 to 2005. And I don't know why they picked those time frames, but not long before his suicide, he spoke to a college graduating class at Canyon College, and here's what he said. He said, "Everyone has to live for something. And if that something is not God, then we are driven by the things we live for." And that is true. I'm getting old. I look around and I see this to be an absolute truth. Tim Keller put it this way. You don't get to decide to worship. Everyone worships something. The only choice you get is what to worship. So everyone here today is worshipers. Everyone that's watching online, they are a worshiper. Some get it more than others. And so we want to talk about this, and we want to just realize this is not a neutral issue. This is not like, oh, the worship is for like the super spiritual people, but I just go to church. No, you're a worshiper. You really are. Second point I want us to look at, we praise what we enjoy. C.S. Lewis had this quote, "We delight to praise what we enjoy because praising not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment." Think about that. We delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. In other words, you have to tell people. When something good happens, when something exciting, when something that is praiseworthy happens, when something great happens, you tell people. I don't know one person who, when they are looking to have to build a family and God grants them that and they are with child and they tell a grandparent, but they tell the grandparent, "Do not tell anybody." I guarantee you, there's not one grandparent out there that I've ever met that doesn't tell at least their best friend and say, "Don't tell anyone." But, I mean, that's just how it is. Why? Because you're bubbling with joy. Are you kidding me? You can't contain that. And there's tons of other illustrations. I love to hunt, and I hang around with a lot of hunters. There's not one hunter that I have found that bags a nice 8 or 10 point buck and doesn't tell anyone. It's like, "Well, I don't want to make a big deal about that." Are you kidding me? He's sending pics to everybody. It's on social media. Why? Because we delight to praise what we enjoy because praise not merely expresses but completes it. When something good happens, you want to tell people. I have my best friend Mike. He's a pastor in New Hampshire. He has a son, Jake, who's 24 years old and is on the spectrum of autism. And dear Jake has not been able to get a job. And they have been trying and trying and trying. And the people out in New Hampshire are not nice people. Our people around here would hire folks who have special needs. Finally this week, he got a hold of a company, and there's a company that's going to hire Jake. And Mike called me with tears. He said, "You won't believe this. Jake's finally got a job." And he was tearfully joyful. Why? Because we delight to praise what we enjoy because praise not merely expresses but completes it. And so we have to understand that that's a fact. You praise the restaurants you like. You praise the movies you see. I advocate Popeye's chicken. I am a Popeye's chicken fan. I love it. And if you say, "Oh, Popeye's," yes, go get a mild thigh, and it's the best chicken you've ever had. I'm telling you. And you'll come back, and you say, "You're right. It's the best chicken. Best." I used to like Kentucky Fried Chicken. That stuff is garbage. And I enjoy telling people about it. Why? Because it's good chicken, and I want to share that with you. This week, the NHL season is going to wrap up, and the NBA season is going to wrap up, and there's going to come two champions this week. And you know what's going to happen. They're going to be emotional, and they are going to delight to praise what they enjoy because they're not just going to win this trophy and say, "Okay, good, walk off the court. You know, thank you, everybody." They're going to celebrate and celebrate, and they're going to share that. Why? Because there's enjoyment there. So just know that as a concept. We definitely praise what we enjoy. Every one of us does, whether you're a believer or not a believer. Point three, God does not need our praise and worship. Acts 17:24 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands, made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything." Wayne Grudem has said that people sometimes think that God created human beings because he was lonely and needed fellowship with other persons. But if that were not true, then God would not be God. He would not be complete. See, there is no lack in God. There is no need in God. We are needy. I am needy. Some of us are more needy than others. God has no needs. He's not sitting up there in heaven and wringing his hands and going, oh. I mean, God is not dependent on anything or anyone. He is self-sufficient. He has no limitations. He experiences no deficiencies. He is complete in all of who he is. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it says, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Have you ever counseled the Lord? No, none of us can. But it goes on to say in verse 35, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. See, God doesn't need our worship. He does not need our worship and praise. But if that is the case, point four, why is God jealous for our praise and our worship? Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Whose name is jealous. Now, we look at that. If I said of Pastor Jason, he calls himself Mr. Jealousy. Oh, here comes Mr. Jealous. I mean, that would not be a compliment. We would not look at that. Why? We use the word jealous in the sense of being envious of something that someone has or is or does. But God is not jealous in that way. He knows who he is. When we say God is jealous, he is jealous of things that belong to him, and worship and praise and service rightly belong to him alone, because he has made you, he has sustained you. Everything you have is his. It's not yours. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. You are stewards. You're not owners. Everything is yours, is his. And so this God, he says, I am jealous. And he says, I want you to have no other gods. Over and over again, he says, you'll have no other gods before me. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. And yet, we don't always live that way. Let me give you a couple of illustrations that are imperfect, but maybe help us understand. If a husband sees another man hitting on his wife, flirting with his wife, he has the right to be jealous because he is the only one. I am the only one that can flirt with my wife. I am the only one that can. I am her husband. This type of jealousy is not sinful. It is appropriate. It is protecting. I don't want anyone messing with my wife. Same thing, maybe to a lesser degree for children. I want, for those of you that are graduates in your 20s and 30s, in a real sense, your parents are jealous for you. They want what is best for you. And yes, they got to let you grow up. And none of us do that perfectly, but they so want you to make good choices, good and godly and right choices in life. And there is a, if you would, sense of jealousy for that. We want you to make wise decisions in everything from purchasing a car to where you go to school to the mate that you will one day pick. Why? Because we love you. All right? Your parents are not being mean. They love you, and they want what's best for you. And they know you better than anyone. And if that is true in a lesser way, how much more the God of the universe who made us, who loves us. That is why 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" He's speaking to believers, whom you have from God. You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. What was that price? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin, lives an absolutely perfect life. And he goes to the cross, and he dies on the cross, suffering the indignity, suffering the pain, suffering the very wrath of God for us, is buried, and he's raised from the dead, and he offers to us the free gift of eternal life. And when he opens our blind eyes, he says, "You're mine. You're bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Glorify God with who you are." So let's review this real quickly. So everyone worships something. We praise what we enjoy. God does not need our praise or worship. Why is God jealous for praise and worship? Why? Because we're bought with a price. And by the way, just a little side note, you're happier when you do what the Lord who made you says to do. Fifth point, last one. Practical benefits of worship and praise and worship. This is why I want you, maybe you come in and you're like, you just don't get it. I mean, yeah, you listen to maybe one Christian song, then you flip back over and you listen to, you know, your regular songs. There's nothing wrong with listening to a little bit of 70s and 80s music, because that is the best music ever. But you don't want it to be a full time with that. But what are benefits of praising the God of the universe, like we've done today, and really we do every Sunday? Here's one. We live in a massively fallen world. And every one of you, in every pew, if I sat down with you, there's troubles in your life of different levels. Some of you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, literally, and some of you are going through hard times, and some of you have people you love, and they're sideways, or they're lost, and it's hard, and we are confronted socially and physically. I've been a lot of time at the hospital this week with different folks, some joyous in a baby, some going through hard times. We have mental struggles. We have emotional struggles. When I ride with the police in my chaplain work, there's not a week goes by that I'm not riding, and you just run into just sad situations. This week, I got a call from the funeral home, and a 23-year-old committed suicide, and they wanted me to do the service. So I did the service, and I mean, needless to say, very sad young man throwing his life away. But there were 50 young people there in their 20s. And during the service, I just turned and looked at them and said, "You got your whole life ahead of you. There is a God, there is a devil." And I just went through the whole gospel of why we're here. And so we live in this world that's just messy. Here's what I know of myself, and I know of every one of you. Keep your eyes on yourself and your situation. It's not good. Turn your eyes to the God of the universe. Cast all your cares upon him. And it's amazing what happens. I've seen people literally from their deathbed all the way to going through trials that I look at and say, how do they handle that? And yet, as the Lord helps them and they get their eyes on this massive God, it is all good. It is truly all good. So God made you that you would praise him, and he is jealous for you. He doesn't want you to have any other gods. And by the way, when you find those other gods and you go after things, I'm always amazed trash day. Drive around on trash day. You will see things that people are throwing out that were once a treasure. And you could say, oh man, 15 years ago, I remember buying something like that. I saw people hauling out these huge TVs, you know, the ones that are like this deep. Back in the day, you know, huge screens, they were the first big flat screen TVs. and everyone had to have them who could afford it. I wasn't one of them, but but now they're yesterday's idol. They had to have it. You see that way, you go to a junkyard, you see all these nice cars. So, the benefit of praise and worship is not only do we get our eyes aright, but we feel the closeness drawing near to the God of the universe and feeling his pleasure. Scripture says, those who honor me, I will honor. And I think that is so true when we draw near to him. So let me invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, please. Because we're going to turn over back to the passage that Dale read, Psalm 145. Because we're going to worship this God who is all these things that we looked at. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read through this slowly. And we're going to just use this as a time of meditation, prayer, and praise. I'm going to make a few comments. But I want you to enter into this. And maybe some of you have never done this, so you're going to feel like, this is weird. But just grab your Bibles and let's do this. Verse 1, I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless your name and praise your name forever and ever. We could just say, Lord, thank you that you're the God that not only has redeemed us, but we're going to be able to do this forever and ever. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Lord, you are greater than anything. Verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Lord, help me to think about this. As you go through the week, may we think about it. May as a cow chews the cud, may we just think about who he is and what he has done and turn our eyes from negative things to positive things. Verse 6, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Isn't he? Think about that. Isn't the Lord good to you? Isn't he good to me? Hasn't he been gracious and merciful? He hasn't treated me according to my sins. I deserve hell. I'm not going there because of what Christ has done. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all and merciful over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless your name. They shall speak of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom, and tell of your power to make known the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Who do we have but him? What a great thing. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion rules through all generations. That's just a reminder that kingdoms will come and they will go, but this kingdom will live forever. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all words and kind in all of his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who bow down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. Lord, you are a provider. You open your hand. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. What a great thing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the truth. Verse 19, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cries and saves them. The Lord knows the trouble that you're in, and he will deliver you. There's going to come a day when the trouble we are in is gone. Verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. There is a reality that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And those that don't know you, you will destroy. May the mouth, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. We praise him. And we want to make him known. We want to make him known vacation, Bible school week. We want to let him known in IYM. Bruce is just telling me he has a chance every Saturday. If you want to get involved, tell him kids about Jesus. There's all kinds of opportunities. With Live Free, we're gonna help a church. We're going to teach kids about Jesus and his greatness. Why? We want to make him known because we delight to talk about what we love. The band's going to come up and we're going to sing, but I just want us to bow our heads and to pray. Lord, you are the great God of the universe. I pray for us here. I pray that every one of us that calls on your name would make it our goal in everything that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, your word says, do all to your glory. And Lord, there's an amazing thing that happens when that happens, that when we put you first, when we give you praise, when we live generously with our time, our talent, and our treasures, not only are you glorified, but Lord, we are happier. And so I pray that you would stir within the people of Cross Point a passion for praise and worship and your glory to make you known. So Lord, as we sing, may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you all to stand and worship the God of the universe.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Praise.
our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God.
I pray, God, that our praise is worthy of you. That is out of a heart of enjoyment of you that completes our enjoyment when we have to proclaim you. I pray that we would proclaim you not only in our thoughts to ourselves, to just between you and us, but to others and with our words. You are a great, great God. Thank you for all that you are. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Holy,
holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are my everything, and I mighty, who was and is to come.
Lord, you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, I pray that we would be worshipers of you, that we would flee idols and those secondary things that are not our ultimate treasure or pleasure, but you are, Lord. So we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. To you be the glory. And all God's people said, amen.